Praise God. Well, it's great to be here in the house of the Lord today. Amen? Amen. We're just going to open up the word of the Lord together. As you know, today is Father's Day, and I want to talk today about your father. I want to talk about your father and a little bit about him. And some of you might say, well, how can you talk about my father? You never met my father. You don't even know who my father is. Well, I have actually met your father, and I do want to talk about him, and I know everything about him. And I'm learning more about him all the time, but I do want to talk about your father. I want to talk about your father in heaven today. So we have a look at Matthew 7, and we don't have a lot of time this morning. Just as you turn it, can I just thank everybody that has given to the Sri Lanka trip. I just want to bless you for that. Just want to let you know that enough money has come in. In fact, more than enough money has been given, so I praise God for that. There's about $800 or so more than is actually needed for this trip, so I praise God for that. So I just want to let you know, with that extra money, I had a letter from Pastor Barry Silverback who was saying that the other church in Colombo with Pastor Rogers' church there, they had a need for a motorbike there. It cost $1,850. He said, I've got $600 towards it. Can you help us, a church? And so I said, yeah, well, look, we've got $800 towards it. So we're nearly there. It's not far off having enough money for the motorbike. So if anyone who did want to give still, any that you give will go to that motorbike to bless the church there, because that's the only means of transport. But thank you for your generosity. Really bless you for your heart in giving that as well. And just also wanted to say one other thing, just in case anyone was confused last Sunday morning. I just want you to understand and know about the total and authority and the power of the name of Jesus Christ, that there's nothing under heaven and under earth that can stand before the name of Jesus Christ. Total authority, dominion and power. No demon, no devil, nothing can stand before the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So just to remind you of that and reassure you of that, there's nothing under all creation. Every knee will bow before the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the cross, he's defeated everything. Amen? Amen. So praise God. Let's have a look at this scripture. Matthew 7, 9 to 11. I want to talk about our Heavenly Father. I want to talk a little bit about our earthly fathers, but mainly I want to concentrate on our Heavenly Father today. We've already had a good message preached this morning about fathers, so I just want to share in the little time that we have together about our Heavenly Father. Matthew 7, verses 9 to 11, it says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Father, we just pray that you speak to us, Lord, as we look at this verse today. Father, Lord, that you speak to us. And Lord, open our hearts. Let there be a revelation in our spirit this day, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It starts off and asks a question. If your son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. It'd be a pretty mean father, wouldn't it? You know, you go there and you haven't put a bit of rocks in the toaster and put them there, and there's your brekkie. You just give them some bread, or they go there and they want to have a bit of fish, and then there's this snake slithering around. How many of your fathers have done that to you? I'm glad, because it'd be a pretty horrible thing, wouldn't it, to have a live snake on your plate. Pretty scary thing, I would think. So the scripture says, look, if you're not going to do that. Now, but we know that not all fathers are perfect. We're just going to look at natural fathers for a moment. Not all natural fathers are perfect. In fact, the reality is there's not one perfect father that's ever walked this earth. The only perfect person who ever walked this earth was Jesus, and he was not a father in the sense of being a physical father. There's spiritual father, and obviously through the lineage of the line of David, which Christ was a part of that, yeah, there's a sense, but there's not been one perfect father who worked on this earth. And the scripture says, if you then, though you are evil, and it recognizes that really there is no perfect fathers who have walked the face of the earth. No fathers are perfect. In fact, some people don't have absent fathers. They've never really known their father. Maybe their father hasn't been around. And so a day like today can be a little bit hard for someone if their father has never been around. But there are fathers who are around that people don't know their father either. They can actually live with their father, and the father's just the one in the house and don't really know them. And so there's no fathers that are perfect. And scripture says that though you are evil, and we acknowledge that. I know that as a father I try to be, and it challenges us, for us who are fathers, to be the very best dad that we can be. That's our heart, that's our goal, our mission in life, other than to be a godly man, a godly husband, it's to be a godly father, and that's our desire to do that. But every one of us are painfully aware of where we fall short. We fall short in the things. And I'm sure every one of us, if we look at our own father, would say, yeah, well, maybe my father wasn't a perfect father. But I don't want to really focus on the fact that our fathers aren't perfect and the imperfections and failures of our father. Because every father fails. Every father is not perfect. But what happens is that when a father dies, it's interesting what happens at a funeral. And I've been to countless funerals, done many, many funerals, and been to countless funerals. And the thing that always happens at funerals is that when somebody is dead, is that people never get up there at a funeral and say, oh, he was this, he was that, really bad things. But people only say good things at a funeral. And I think that's really important. Sometimes it's a little bit of sentimentalism, and sometimes people are verbalizing perhaps really what they wanted perhaps in a father that maybe wasn't quite there. But on the whole, the majority of people at a funeral, what they do is they remember the good things. They remember the good things about fathers. And that's the really important thing for every person here, is to always to look to the good and always to remember the good in our fathers. Philippians 4:8, it says this. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or worthy of praise, think about such things. And on Father's Day, that's what we do. The kids will think of the little ones. It's easy for them, you know. Kids are wonderfully forgiving. Kids are wonderfully forgiving. You know, kids, you might be cranky with you one day because you told them off or something, but even maybe in a half an hour, even 10, 5, 3 minutes times, kids just don't hold on to things. Kids let things go. Kids are wonderful like that. They just allow things to go. But unfortunately, some of us, as we get older, we're not so good at forgiving, and we can hold on to things. But it's so important that we allow those things that maybe if our fathers did fail us in some way, that we remember the good. The scripture always honors us and encourages us to remember the good in our fathers. And every one of us has something that we can be thankful for God in our own father, our own natural father. Whether our father was around or whether our father has passed away, whether we knew our father well and didn't really know our father at all. And as I said, people can be living with their father and still not necessarily know them because there's no real relationship. A lot of fathers grew up in a generation where fathers never expressed affection to their children. It was a whole generation. Previously, generations that have gone, that men would never say to their son, or I love you, because maybe their father never said that to them. They could never express that. They were never taught to do that. But we always got to remember the good things, and in our fathers, always honour that. Remember the good things. It says in the scripture that they know how to give good gifts to your children. And one of the gifts that a father gives, and Pastor John's already said a number of things this morning, but one of the things a father gives is a father is a protector. And there's something about when the father is there that the kids feel safe. And we honour our fathers for the fact that they are there for provision, and godly fathers for the provision. Even ungodly fathers understand the need for provision and go and they work many, many long hours. And for some fathers, that's how they actually express their love. That they're working hard, they work many long hours to provide. So it's a gift. One of the best gifts that we can give as parents is our example to our children. As fathers, if you want your children to be a good husband, if you want them to be a good father, then you model that. Because they watch everything you do. They listen to some of the things you say. Some of the things we say our children listen to, some of them. But everything they do, they watch everything we do. And so fathers, it's so important that we want to be that example, to be a godly example in all that we do. You can say 10,000 things, but they watch everything that we do. But a father can be a good source of advice. And I think when people look back and say, yeah, I remember when my dad told me this, and my own father, I remember good things that my father has imparted and told me, advice that he's given, and we can hold on to those things. The leadership in the home, Pastor John already mentioned about that, about being the leader in the home. It's so important, fathers, as godly fathers, that we are the spiritual leader in the home. And the sad thing is that even in Christian families, in a lot of cases, you find the one who's really most passionate about the things of God is the wife. And men, we've got to be the most passionate ones about the things of God. We're the spiritual leader in the home. We're the ones who initiate. Let's commit this to prayer. We've got to pray about it, not the wife saying, oh, maybe we should pray. Guys, we need to do that. It's important as fathers. But to be the leader in the home, that's one of the good gifts that we can bring to our children. About comforting our children. You know, the role of nurturing is not just all for a mother to do. Fathers, it's so important, you know, when our kids are upset, just to hug them and to show them that affection. It's so important for fathers to do that, to be affectionate to your kids. Even as they grow up, even as they become men, still give them a hug, still show them that love and affection. It's so important. Be an encourager to our children. That's one of the wonderful gifts. And the words of a father of encouragement are priceless. 10,000 other people might say, oh, well done, son. Oh, well, not, I won't say son. They'll say, well done. Well done. That was really good. What a fantastic effort. But for a father to speak to their child and say, that is wonderful. That is good what you have done. It's such a precious, wonderful gift. Fathers, don't ever neglect those words of encouragement that you can bring. One word from a father is worth 10,000 from a stranger or from other people if we are encouragers. And we always remember the things that they have taught us, and as parents we seek to impart that into our children. And we remember your own father. Remember some of those things about your father. And maybe as you look at your own father, maybe he wasn't all of those things. Maybe he wasn't many of those things. But always remember your father on Father's Day for the good things. That God chose your father, that he chose your father to bring you into the world. And without your father, you'd never even be here in the world. And so we honour our fathers for that. We honour them for the things. And don't wait until your father is dead. Some people do that. It's only when their father is actually dead. And maybe they've not been so close, or they've been very close, or maybe there's been unforgiveness. They've harboured a hard heart. The father is dead and laid to rest. And then they sit down and they have to write a eulogy, or they have to begin to speak some things. And that's the first time they've actually begin to think of all the good things they can say about their father. And maybe not say those things when their father is still alive. It's important that we do that, appreciate your father. If your father is passed on, then just in your own memory and honour of your father, think of the good things. Honour them. The scripture tells us to remember the good things, to think about it. Don't wait for that. If anyone that's here and your relationship with your father is strained in some way, that there's no dialogue, there's no relationship, don't wait until you're standing and there and then you start thinking, oh yeah, look, he was good because yeah, he did do this and there was that and there was this. But when they're alive, just make, if you've got any bridge between you and your father, make peace and dwell on all the good things. For those whose fathers have passed on, cherish the good memories, cherish those things, maybe little things. Don't focus on, the trouble with most of us is that whenever we look at something, people are always worried about what they don't have. Very quick to acknowledge, oh, I don't have this, or I don't have that. And don't be so concerned about what you don't have. It's what honouring what you do have. That's what's really important. That's what that scripture is telling us. Honour what we do have. Don't be upset about what you don't have. I want to just tell you a story. I just want to read this little story to you. I'll read it to you. And this is of a guy called Ben Hooper. I'll just read his story to you. I was born not far from here across the mountains. This is when he was meeting these people, a guy called Ben Hooper. My mother wasn't married when I was born, so I had a hard time. When I started at school, my classmates had a name for me, and it wasn't a very nice name. I used to go off by myself at recess and during lunchtime because of the taunts of my playmates cut so deeply. What was worse was going downtown on a Saturday afternoon and feeling every eye burning a hole through you. They were all wondering just who my real father was. When I was about 12 years old, a new preacher came to our church. I'd always go in late and slip out early. But one day the preacher said the benediction so fast I got caught and had to walk out with the crowd. I could feel every eye in the church on me. Just about the time I got to the door, I found a big hand on my shoulder. I looked up at the preacher who was looking right at me. Who are you, son? Whose boy are you? I felt the old weight come on me. It was like a big black cloud. Even the preacher was putting me down. But as he looked down at me, studying my face, he began to smile, a big smile of recognition. Wait a minute, he said. I know who you are. I see the family resemblance. You are a son of God. And with that, he slapped me across the rump and said, boy, you've got a great inheritance. Go and claim it. And that was the most important single sentence ever said to me. And Ben Hooper, he went on to become a governor of Tennessee in America, this guy Ben Hooper. So this was a guy who didn't really know his father, but someone said to him about he has a heavenly father. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. I know we don't have a lot of time this morning, but I want to talk about a heavenly father. We do honor fathers. If you're a father today, I honor you before God because you stand in a very high position, something that you will stand before God and give an account about. Talked about final examination. If you're a father, what kind of father are you? What kind of father are you to your kids? Do you want your kids to emulate you, to model you, to follow your example? Or you say to your kids, no, kids, just please, whatever you do, don't be like me. Learn from my mistakes. Well, they may learn from our mistakes, but we also want them to learn from our example, and that's our heart. So I encourage you with that. But I really want to talk about our Father in heaven this morning, because there is that Father that is the Father that is always there, the Father who never fails us, and He actually is the only perfect Father. He is the only perfect Father, and that is our Father in heaven. Our scripture that we're reading, it says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. And I think most fathers, not all fathers, but most fathers, they do try to do their best. And maybe their best is not always what we would hope for, but a lot of them do try to do their best. If you, though you are evil, you're full of failures, full of shortcomings, full of imperfections, failures, weaknesses, your own whatever it is within you. If you, even though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, it says, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And it really brings such a contrast. And some people really honor their fathers, and we really need to honor our Father, to love our fathers and just to honor them before God. But even out of the brokenness and the frailty of a human father, some good comes out of that. There's good gifts. How much more is our Father in heaven? And I just pray today that we have a revelation of the goodness of God to us. I'm going to show a clip in just a few minutes' time, and I pray that it really is going to speak to you. But we do have a Father in heaven. It says, how much more are the good gifts to those who ask him? And quite often, a lot of the time, we don't ask things from God. But how often as a kid, if you've got little kids will come up to you, it's dad, 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 dad. How many times a day do you get dad? You having 100 times a day? 1,000 times a day? In fact, sometimes when the kids were a little bit younger, they'll be all saying dad, and they're all saying dad at the same time. Saying, hang on, just one at a time. I can only talk to one of you at a time. They're always saying, dad, dad, can we this, dad, can we, dad, dad, dad. But how many of us, when it comes to the things of life and in our own relationship with our Father, some people say don't have answered prayers because they don't even pray for anything. They don't even ask for anything. But if little child can come up to you and go, dad, 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 how much more can we say, Lord, 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 and reach out to God and ask him, it says, how much more will he give good gifts to those who ask him? Many people don't ask for things from God, and the reason we don't receive is that we don't ask, it tells us in the book of James. That's why we don't receive, because we don't even ask him. But we can come to God, and he gives us good and wonderful gifts. Matthew 6:26, it says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? But just think about it. Birds, you know, birds, they don't have a very long life cycle. They don't last all that long, birds. They're here one day and, you know, it doesn't take long. They die off very quickly, birds. They don't live for a very long time at all. And yet, birds that are here today and gone tomorrow, how God actually cares for them and how he looks after them. Well, how much more valuable are we to our Father in heaven? How much more does he want to provide for us? How much more does he want to look after us? He'll care after a little bird, and I love birds and whatever else, but a bird's just a bird. It's going to be dead tomorrow. How much more is God going to love us? Some of you have pigeons, and I know how much some of those that are into pigeons just love their pigeons. They look after them. They've got chickens. I know Joe loves his chickens. We like our chickens too. Although they've stopped laying, Joe, you're going to have to come and cancel them for me. It's great, you know. We like our chickens, actually. They're quite good little chickens. Well, they were. Well, Joe will come and sort them out for me. But people love their birds, and God loves birds. He looks after all that. But at the end of the day, it's just a dumb bird, really. But how much more that God, our Heavenly Father, oh, Joe's upset now. How much more does our Father in heaven love us? How much more? He made us in his image. He didn't make a chicken in his image. He didn't make a dove or a pigeon in his image. He made us in his image, and how much more that he loves us. In James 1:17 it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You know, as a father, hands up if you ever have a bad day. You haven't got your hand up, you haven't one now because you're lying this day. All right? Look, none of us are perfect. As a father, sometimes, you know, you're trying to get something done or whatever, and you say, no, look, I haven't got time. And think, after, look, this is important and you need to... We have days where we're just, you know, sometimes we're really, really good, aren't we? Some days we're like the best dad in the world, and other times we're not. But it says here, it says our Father in heaven, it does not change like shifting shadows. He is consistently there for us. His heart is always done for us. And good and perfect gifts come from God. And I just encourage you to understand how God is for you, how much God is for us, how much God loves us, and how he is the giver of good gifts for every one of us, how much more God wants to lavish his love upon us. But quite often, we just don't even approach God. We don't come to our Father and say, Dad. Some of us don't even bother to do that. We walk away in despondingness or loneliness or brokenness or frustration. We don't actually come to our Father. And he's not a Father that we have to, Dad, you know, in that little whiny voice that goes up higher and higher and higher. And the higher pitch it gets and the whinier, I think the kids think that actually is going to make you, Dad, that actually is the thing that makes you, actually does the opposite to me. But we don't have to be like that with God. We don't have to beg God. We don't have to cajole God. We don't have to, you know, say, pretty please. But God is a gracious, loving Father. He just wants to lavish his love and his grace upon us. But how it says here, how much more will your Father in heaven give gifts to those who ask him? But what are you asking God for today? If I was to ask you, what are you asking God for? Some of you say, oh, yeah, look, I really want this. Some of you go, oh, gee, I really don't know. I have to think about it. And you wonder why sometimes you don't feel the blessing of God in your life. The scripture says that we've got to ask him. And if we ask God and we put him first in our heart and in our life, he says, how much more will you and your Father give good gifts to those who ask him? What are you asking God for today? What are you asking God for? If you have to think about it, there's something wrong. Let's have a heart where we say, God, look, I'm in relationship with you, Father. And Lord, I come with you confidently because you're a good God. If in our frailty and the weaknesses of a human father, we can still try. But God, you're the perfect God with the perfect love. And we can come to him and allow him to give us the good gifts. But what are you asking God for today? It's wonderful getting presents on Father's Day. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be blessed in that. But how much more when our Father in heaven gives us good gifts, when he blesses us? What are you asking God for? Ultimately, the ultimate gift, I've had to go very quick this morning, is the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have a look at John 3:16. Hands up, you know John 3:16. Trouble is, many people can quote it in their sleep. Some are in their sleep now. I hope they're quoting it while they're sleeping. John 3:16, we can quote John 3:16. But let's just read it. It says, for God so loved the world. Now let's read it together. It's on the screen. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now just think about this scripture for a moment. Now God is the Father. He is the Father. He is the perfect Father. He is perfect in every way. Every motive, every intention is correct. Everything that he does is right. Not only is his intention right, his motive right, his execution is right. What he does, his timing is always immaculate. There's no failure in any part of God. He is the perfect, wonderful, holy, absolute, perfect Father in every single way. There's nothing greater, no greater Father. He is wonderful. He is the Father. He is the model Father. He is the Heavenly Father. But it just blows me away that God is a Father. Now, as a Father who loves his sons, and I know that my love for my son, it comes through a brokenness of humanity. And as much as I love my kids, I'm not a perfect father. And none of us are perfect father. But the perfect Father, the Heavenly Father, who loved his own son perfectly, completely, totally, and utterly. A wonderful love. It just amazes me, though, when I think about it, that the Father who loved his son would actually allow his son to be put to death in a hideous way, in a way that is unimaginable. And we read it in the Bible, and we just can gloss over it as you read through, but unimaginable what Jesus went through. The Father allowed that, and the Father did that to the Son, and he did it to the Son that I might become his Son. It blows me away that his own Son, his only begotten Son, that he would see him to go through so much humiliation, so much pain, so much torture, so much anguish, so much agony, purely for the reason that I might become his Son too, that you might become his Son. And that always blows me away, because if you understand what the heart of a father is, and we have little snapshots of an imperfect father, and even the most godly father you can think of is an imperfect father, and not a good example of the perfect father. We're the best we can be. But the Father, the holy, perfect Father, allowed his Son to die on the cross that I might become his child, that I might be Son. And that actually blows me away, that God loves us so much, that God would love us so much. I want us to watch this clip this morning. And this clip, it's called A Love Letter from God. And all of this, every part of it is Scripture. Now, the Scriptures aren't going to flash up. The Scripture references will appear in the bottom corner, but it's narrated to us. And I pray this morning, even Lord, I pray even before we watch this, Father, that you'll speak to us through this. Lord, that you are the Heavenly Father that loves us so much. Lord, that we can ask for the good gifts from you, Lord, that we can ask of you, Lord. And Lord, you bring us the good gifts. And Father, I pray, Lord, even now, Lord, we'll have a revelation, Lord, of what it is to have the Father who gave up his Son that he desperately, passionately, and perfectly loved, that each of us may be in deep relationship with you as a child, Father. So, Lord, I pray that you speak to us as we watch this clip now in Jesus' name. Let's watch this together. It goes for a few minutes.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and he is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is his love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could. For I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. For I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope. Because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your Dad. Almighty God.
Let's just stand to our feet and let's just pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you are our Father. Lord, how you've shown your love to us, Lord, and even through the cross of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you demonstrated such a wonderful love to us. Lord, we just thank you for your word, Lord, which is your love letter to us, Lord. And let us read it as that, Lord, not just something to do our bit, Lord, or to study, but, Lord, to read it as a love letter from your throne, Lord, to our very hearts, Lord. We thank you for that. And, Lord, we just want to say that, Lord, we just love you, Father. Lord, you are our Father. And, Lord, because of Jesus Christ, that we are your children, Lord, we are your children. And, Father, we thank you that we have the perfect Father, the perfect Father in you, Lord, Almighty God, our Father, Abba Father. So, Lord, we lift you up this day. Father, I pray for every person here today. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here, Lord, that doesn't know you as Father, who hasn't received Jesus Christ, Lord, that this day that they will find you. They will find the Father, the true Father, the Heavenly Father this day, Lord, as they come and receive Jesus Christ. And Father, for anyone, Lord, that has that longing in their heart, Lord, for a relationship with Father, or maybe their father's passed away, Lord, or maybe their father, Lord, it's not possible to have contact, but Father, we have you as our Father. And I pray, Lord, that every heart this day will rejoice, Lord, because they are loved, loved so passionately, Lord, by the perfect Father, by the Heavenly Father. And Lord, let every heart be full of joy this day, Lord, for we are children of you, Lord. We are children of you, Father. We honor you this day, Father. So Lord, I pray that you touch every heart this day, or whatever the rest of this day means. Lord, I pray, Lord, let us hold on to our Heavenly Father, the one who loves us so passionately, so deeply, so tenderly. And Father, let us walk every day with you. And Father, I pray, Lord, let us not be afraid to ask. Not be afraid to ask, Lord. You've given us so much, Lord. You've given us the best gift in Jesus Christ. But Lord, you want to give us good things. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, let us not be afraid to ask, Lord, because you're a gracious and loving Heavenly Father. So, Lord, we bring our hearts to you today. And Father, I pray that you bless every person this day. Draw us closer to you. Closer to you, Father, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.